Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome back to another edition of That's So Region. I'm your host, Matt Schubert, digital editor at the Times of Northwest Indiana. We got a full house today. Guess who's back?
Hi.
The Serb is back.
The Serb.
Oh, man. Eastern European influence.
Yes.
Infiltrating That's So Region once again.
I missed you all so much. It's just that, you know, though I'm Slavic, we have a Puritan work ethic, and I've just been doing a lot of stuff.
Well, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, but I'm back.
Joseph Pete, connoisseur, expert, and genius.
Wow.
Genius
and
connoisseur,
modest.
Expert, and genius.
So modest.
I'm the most humble man on earth.
Yes. He really is.
Doesn't like to talk about himself at all, Joseph.
Just remember, Joseph, my mother always said, pride cometh before the fall.
So well, since it was a joke.
Carrie Erickson, features editor, Irish Catholic, so self-loathing.
So yeah, guilt. Yeah. Guilt-ridden.
Yeah.
If you notice there was a little pause there, Krista got all Joseph Pete on us there for a second.
Sorry.
But we're going to move on.
Also, How is it that I, probably the one who swears the most in this newsroom, did not swear on the podcast yet?
Yeah, right now
it's
you and I right now.
Yeah,
I had to vent a little. Sorry.
All right, first topic. Dresses. Showing up in Gary. There's a abandoned motel off of, what is that road? I can't remember.
Dunes Highway.
Dunes Highway.
1220.
If you've driven past it, you have noticed it. It's impossible not to. And dresses, suits, other garb showed up at random.
90% dresses, yeah.
At this hotel, people noticed. It created a little bit of a stir. Joseph Pete did a story on it. And just as quickly as that story goes up, the dresses are gone. What happened, Joseph?
It's hard to say. But just for context, this is, there's a lot of decrepit and decayed buildings in Gary. This is a rather extreme case where literally it's the shell of a two-story, 28-room or 56-room hotel that used to be a Holiday Inn, was more recently the Interstate Motor Inn. But it's basically like these empty concrete frame is all that's left. Literally everything else has been stripped clean, so it
really
has this
creepy,
very
really
ghastly,
creepy.
Yeah, it has a very ghastly appearance. People like to dump a lot on like tires, that kind of thing in that area. But it looks like some place where people would like leave bodies.
Yes,
like
definitely.
It's just like
yes.
it's yeah. so completely forlorn. And Miller residents have been troubled by it. There have been various proposals over the years. They wanted to turn it into a South Shoreline station. They wanted to turn it into an outdoor like thrift mart. Nothing has really ever taken place with it. It's been sitting vacant for decades now. Some Miller residents have been troubled by how abandoned it is and how eerie it looks and how no one has ever done anything about it.
That side of the road, I think the only thing on there is an adult like bookstore. I think that like that's the only thing that exists on that side of the road for like a good mile.
I think you're
yes.
right.
There's also the man cave that never opened.
No, the man cave is that. That's what I'm talking about. It's
oh,
the man
okay.
cave. That's his inoperate. It looks like it's not open. Apparently it is. I saw cars parked there.
Oh.
It could have been the owners. I think Miller residents kind of fought that tooth and nail to prevent it from opening because it seemed too seedy or shady what they were trying to do with it. It had previously been a gentleman's club, I believe, if you know. That area was, a Wirt Emerson teacher, Deb Weiss, and Jennifer Taylor, who's an actress and she owns the Painted Board Studio. They had been talking about doing something to kind of brighten up that property for some time. And after a lot of discussion, they finally settled on the idea of like hanging clothes up there. And it caused quite a stir on social media. People were talking about it. People thought it was like really weird.
Is that trespassing?
It's not really because it's very it's not well taken care of. It's not a secure site.
It is, but nobody cares. Basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's pretty much all of a lot of Gary. Yeah, it's people routinely enter a lot of those the buildings like it's Gary is famous for urban exploration. People enter like the auditorium, the City Methodist Church. There are tons of people go and photograph these abandoned buildings. It's the city's recognized as an asset and started to do architecture tours even to kind of show people inside some of these buildings like the old post office and everything.
So Krista, this was cool, wasn't it?
I think it's cool. I don't know. It appealed to my avant-garde weirdo side. And you know, let's face it, Northwest Indiana in general is still kind of staid. I mean, we're trying, but we still have these like goofy strictures and values, and I think it wouldn't hurt us to like step out a little bit and be a little avant-garde.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, if they wanted to draw attention to it, that was the perfect time because it is Halloween. It was did look macabre. It was very weird. And their whole goal was to draw attention to these abandoned buildings, and that was the right time. It's sad that someone came and took the dresses down.
I wonder if it was city fathers or mothers.
Yeah.
Officials,
but a lot of people stopped to take pictures. Like even the time when I went to go shoot it, some people were like, other people were stopping, and then you know, it was like, it's really like, it was one of those things that just makes people pull over.
Well, if you know, if you're into a certain, like you said, avant-garde sort of photographs and observation, there's all sorts of things in Gary like that. I remember driving past same road, Dunes Highway. And just down the street, there was like this abandoned building that looked like it must have been something to do with the train or something like that. Been sitting there for a long time, and there was always like a political poster on it, vote for so and so. So like the irony of it, like, hey, vote for me in this, you know, on top of a rotted out structure.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, it just was, you know, dripping.
It's a metaphor for, decline.
But it feels like you can find stuff like that all the time in Gary. Here, you're almost dressing something up that, let's phrase it, probably needs it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was their whole goal, was to draw attention to the building. So.
Well, they certainly did.
Yeah, they did.
People to do something about it, either improve the appearance or to just tear it down or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think tear it down is pretty much the only way you're going to improve the appearance.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very salvageable. But it was once on a postcard that was like, there are postcards back from like the 60s where it was this like idyllic paradise with a swimming pool. And they've said too, people have flooded in with like memories since they, because they started posting stuff anonymously on social media online to try and get people talking. And all these people were sharing all these memories they had of like staying there or working there or whatever. It was kind of a focal point for, you know, for many years. It was one of the first like Holiday Inns built in the area. And it was in that like Howard Johnson era where road travel was just kind of becoming a big thing, so it was relatively like novel at the time. But they had heard some interesting stories.
Still enjoy some road travel personally. I like getting on the road. So we're gonna stay in Gary for our next topic. Janet Jackson returned home, I'm sorry, Randy as well.
Yeah.
Lesser known Jackson, Randy. Yeah. I didn't even know of Randy until about a week ago, actually. I believe Eloise had the story.
Yeah, she got a tip. Right before 2, that Janet and Randy were going to be at the childhood home in Gary, and she went out there, and they were limiting the media who could be around them at the time, and she and our photographer John J. Watkins managed to get photos and a story out of it. When John Jay first sent the photos in, I thought Janet was part of the media, the photo, because it looked like she had a cameraman behind her, and she looked, you know, she looked like a normal girl, like in Gary, like nothing, she wasn't made up, she had very little makeup on, she blended right in with the media, but Eloise was able to get a story. They went to went to Roosevelt High School, where some of the Jacksons went when they lived here. And Janet and Randy wanted to just go and give the kids at Roosevelt High School some hope and some inspiration and give them some advice. So it was really cool that she came back. There wasn't a lot of hoopla around her. Yeah. You know, she came back and she did what they did what they wanted to do and get back to Gary a little bit. So it was really cool. Very cool story.
I know there's been talk of having like a Michael Jackson museum or something like that in Gary. It feels like there's something more Gary could do, or maybe the family, or maybe both together.
I gotta say, all the events that have happened through the years with Gary and the Jacksons, it always seems a little, nothing works out smoothly, nothing seems to go as planned.
It seems like some family member or some other person will get up in it. And
it's very hodgepodge, so I'll say that. It's very like
the dad. Yeah. And
details
arguing,
never seem to be ironed out completely.
Well, in this case, I think she was playing a concert in Chicago, and she just basically swung by like impromptu. There wasn't really
she played the night before.
What's the film crew for?
We had some speculated that she was maybe doing a documentary, but we asked and there was nothing about that. She just wanted to go. Maybe she wanted to document it for herself, because I think they left Gary when Janet was 2 years old, so she was very young.
I think 8, right?
8? I don't think. She said the last time she was back here was 8. That's the story. But I don't think she went I don't think she went to school here. I think she left very young. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she said she was back here when she was 8. Because
she's younger than Michael, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's younger, yeah.
Because Michael, I think, how old was he when they left? I don't know, 11?
He was a little older than that, but yeah. They're, Janet is the youngest, I believe. So, yeah. You know, she was pretty young when they left. But, you know, all her brothers went, you know, most of her brothers went to school at Roosevelt, and so she just wanted to come back and see it. But
I've never seen the house.
I have once. Yeah, it's unassuming. It's, you know, it's in the middle, it's in a regular street. There's a monument outside to it. One of our reporters, Vanessa Renderman, who's no longer here, she actually had to go inside the house and talk to Katherine Jackson. Mm. So that was cool. But, I mean, I've just seen the outside of it. And people do flock to it. People, no matter what day, you always see somebody there taking pictures, and yeah.
And I love that oftentimes if they do have one of these weird events, there's people from Germany and Japan, and girls from Japan who are like total Michael.
Elvis and I talked about that. I feel like Michael Jackson is maybe the most famous. In fact, Forbes this week just had a story came out that Michael Jackson has made the most money of any dead celebrity. It's $75 million, more than like
Elvis.
Yeah, beat Elvis. Elvis came in fourth, I believe, and the second closest, I can't remember who it was, but it was $40 million away from Michael Jackson.
Wow!
And that was number
2. He was a worldwide star.
Yeah.
The birthday is particularly a big deal. People will flock there on the birthday. I've seen like European tourists outside the city hall snapping pictures of the welcome to Gary sign.
Everybody else is confused.
Then you're like, oh yeah, it's Michael Jackson's birthday. It was like, there's no other logical explanation.
And I had a moment of quiet rage the other day. I was channel surfing on regular channels, and there is Michael's two kids. They're really sweet. The boy was talking.
Where's
forget
Blanket?
His name.
I haven't seen
Blanket. I don't know. And whenever anyone says Blanket, I just start laughing because that's maybe Blanket just cannot bear his name.
It's he's Prince Michael, isn't it? Prince Michael in Paris?
Yeah, Michael in Paris. Prince or whatever.
Prince Michael,
but he's like such a sweet kid. But I did have a minor moment of rage when one of the fetuses who was interviewing said something about and go back to their home where they got their start in Encino, California. And I was like, it's Gary!
Everybody knows.
People do any research?
The Jackson 5 song was going back
young
to Gary.
I don't know if she said Encino, but it was some Encino, California. Yeah. And I was... You know,
they have a song about the house.
Incense.
They have a song about Gary.
You know those E! News shows, they don't hire real journalists. They're just, I don't know what they are that they hire there.
All right, we got another story here.
First salt cave in northwest Indiana comes to St. John, a salt cave. They call it Halo Therapy. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Joseph? Halo therapy?
Allegedly, this dates back all the way to, like, the father of medicine. Like, it's been a practice in Europe for years, particularly in the Eastern European areas that we have, because they have naturally occurring salt caves.
Do Serbs do this?
It's big in Poland, I know that.
I don't know if Serbs are so big, but we do like our baths and our, you know, and our natural, going to the natural, you know, warm earth spring baths. Yeah, there's a lot of that in South Serbia. Especially.
This one's a bit weird, though, salt.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to breathe in the salt?
They have, I think my mom, even when she's on a Fulbright scholarship, they actually have, like, underground churches in these salt caves. Where they like will worship mass because it's got like a very it's like a very intense saltiness, like being by the sea, like the ocean, and it's you know, it has a relaxing, rejuvenating effect. They claim it has like it's been an alternative medicine for centuries, so it's not like these people like pioneered it or anything, but they claim it has, you know, effects on like respiratory illnesses like asthma, things like that. There hasn't been any scientific research to back that, but some people like swear by it. They just feel like it's a relaxing, rejuvenating thing.
I read the term zero gravity chair in this story.
And
there are chairs where gravity doesn't exist.
You know, like there's ones where you like lean back and you know, like they're
like a recliner?
Chairs. Yeah, like a little bit.
A recliner.
What do you call those chairs? Like when lawn chairs. That's not a recliner. What is that called?
It's a specific type of chair. She's right.
Right.
It's
but they have a lot of them are zero gravity chairs.
It's not literal. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not.
You're not going to float
like
to like the moon or
way,
something.
You know,
okay.
To sell the chair.
I thought that they had come up with a way to get rid of gravity. I just wasn't
no.
sure.
Sadly, no. Einstein no. worked for this chair company for years.
I don't know. I'm going to go try it.
You're going to give it a try?
Yeah, because I have asthma and COPD and, you know, all this other stuff. But I also, I don't know. There might not be scientific evidence to back it up, but I love to go to Florida every year, and I just stay in the ocean the whole time because I really feel like that warm salt water is rejuvenating. You know, I'm the only person who goes to Florida in July, you know, but I feel like half the time it's warmer in Chicago than it is there in July, and it is... I truly feel, maybe it's all in my mind, but placebo
but that's
or not,
the thing,
it's,
yeah, if, that's
it's refreshing and rejuvenating, and if I have little cuts or scratches, they heal instantly. And,
it's like bath water.
Yeah, but that salt, there's just something about it that yeah. I revel in. I don't know. I'm going to try that cave.
Yeah, even if it's a placebo effect, if you feel
yeah,
better,
exactly.
it achieves its purpose. But they're
well, it depends on how much you're paying.
I kind of view it as like a Russian spa, kind of. It might not be something I'm necessarily interested in, but some people like to sit in the sauna and just dry out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. It's like a kind of a spa treatment. But there's also one in Cherrville where they're doing the float thing, where it's salt water,
yeah.
like super high intensity salt water, where you just sit there in like a sensory deprivation thing.
Now that's
and
zero
float
gravity.
That's the thing like athletes do to like recover. But again, there's like no science like proving that this actually works.
Yeah.
It's just something people are, you know, doing, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Carrie, are you going to breathe in the salt?
No, I'm not.
You're not gonna...
No, no.
Salty.
I have a gym membership, and I'm trying yoga now. Like, I used to be all cardio, but now I'm trying yoga. So I'm going to go there because I already pay for it, so that's
yeah.
where I'm going to get my relaxation from.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't blame people wanting to try it, though. It sounds interesting.
Well, from the pictures, I mean, it's just bizarre.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
a broom made of salt, essentially. That is just strange.
I just felt better and felt good just reading the story. I know, I'm like
it was
crazy.
That well captured.
I know, and I looked at the photos, and it was like... Try
well,
this.
You do love salt. I've seen
I
you
do.
Eat straight up salt.
I do. I will eat straight up salt. In
on
fact,
a plate,
I generally eat food just so I can have something to go with my salt.
Yeah. So that might be perfect for you. And I'm
it's
not
true.
I don't salt
yeah,
anything.
Love salt.
So, yeah.
Is this like soy sauce where they have the low sodium version as well? For trying to cut back, my doctor said.
I want to relax, but I don't want that salt.
All right, we're going to close this thing out with some recommendations. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Oh,
the person needs to give this back to me.
Wait,
no, I know I need this page. Just,
okay,
this one.
Go for it.
I am recommending, though, the cover of A&E this week is the Star Plaza is closing for good. Their last show is going to be the Oak Ridge Boys, their normal Christmas show. So, actually, Krista, do you have the cover of that real quick?
I do.
Yeah.
Here. I didn't mean to steal it from
but
you.
But we want people to go to NWI.com, and there's a form on NWI.com where people can share their memories of Star Plaza. My favorite memory of Star Plaza is seeing Chris Isaac. Got to meet Chris Isaac. He was in a suit of all mirrors. That was awesome.
Greatest Ooh, music
yes.
video ever made.
I feel like...
Any teenage boy from the 90s knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, you're talking about the one with the Helena
Wicked Game.
Yes, Wicked Game.
Yes.
So the Oak Ridge Boys' final concert is December 17th. That is what they'll close with. So I highly recommend going, getting a paper from Thursday's edition and going to NWI.com. And one thing I'm going to recommend, I rarely recommend a Chicago event, but I am going to recommend Macy's Tree and Lights start on Saturday. For anybody who remembers Marshall Fields, going to see the windows is a big was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Eating in the Walnut Room, and that starts on Saturday. They're going to kick off with all their windows.
Wait,
it's
the first week of November.
I know, it's crazy. They're starting it on Saturday.
You know, I walked over in advertising. They got a Christmas tree up over there already.
Yeah,
they had that up since.
Yeah,
like,
they've had that up for a
month.
While.
What's going on here?
Well before Halloween.
There's a war on Christmas.
Yeah, they're jumping the gun. But the windows and the tree and all that runs through January 7th, so that's my recommendation.
When does Christmas Kindle Market?
Chris Kindle Market, that starts, I want to say, next weekend?
I'm looking, but I don't see.
I want to say
it's
next
awesome.
Weekend.
You should go drink some glug wine and check out the A for Atheist.
I went there last year. I could barely move.
Yeah,
that's the big problem with
gotta
it.
You got to go during the week, and it can't be real nice out. And
on a rainy
the only
day.
Good thing is it's warm.
I heard they're not selling the boot mugs this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
I'll
like
give
the best
you my
part.
Boot mug.
That's the whole point.
I have two boot mugs.
I'm in a downsizing mode, and I was thinking of even throwing it out. So
what?
Anybody wants my boot mug, it's yours.
You only
got your
one?
Name on it.
I got
one.
You don't seem like the down. downsizing kind of person.
Oh, I'm doing it. I know.
Well, at some point, don't all your little things have to come out here for Christmas? Yeah, your little houses?
Yeah, I might not do that this year.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's an undertaking.
Joseph, what do you got?
All right, just a couple things real quick. Steel City Salvage is a new initiative in Gary where they're trying to turn all the abandoned buildings into an asset. They're harvesting all these like building materials, doors, lumbers, windows, and they are going to be having, they're going to eventually have like a warehouse where you can go buy this kind of stuff if you're like a contractor or you're just a crafty person or you just want to do some home like renovation projects. You know, they're going to have a pop-up market this Saturday. It was moved inside to the baseball stadium, the Gary Railcat Stadium. It's going to be from 10 to 3, and they're going to have a lot of the other Gary groups are going to be there. The Gary Poetry Project, Preserve Gary, Decay Devils, they'll all be represented. There'll be food by Art House, a social kitchen. You can go buy like coasters, wall-mounted bottle openers.
No Grindhouse?
See if there's pews. Yeah, and then I'm going to plug Grindhouse because it's pretty good.
Grindhouse.
That's punch one and two.
Yes.
I said it. Do I get a latte? Or
I get the same amount of punches as everybody else. Yeah, etc. It's but that's another. There's a space revival. The Grindhouse has like a concert venue. It's worth checking out. They do like small kind of shows in downtown Griffith. There, worth seeing. And then I went down to Fair Oaks Farm. They're building a hotel. Story in tomorrow's paper and WI.com. But the farmhouse restaurant down there is really nice. They have, it's literally like farm to table. Like they said, something like 80% of the food comes from like right outside on the farm. And it's like a very fancy menu.
I hope they wash it first, right?
Well,
they're
catering. They had some fancy, they had like salmon poke and they had.
Pokey.
Yeah, I think it's poke.
Pokey.
Oh, whatever. I've been corrected for saying pokey. So I'm at poke restaurants. So I'm sticking to it. But they had bacon wrapped shrimp chevisse shots.
There's this great shrimp farm over in Northwest Indiana.
There actually are in Valparaiso. We have aquaponic shrimp farms.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
So it's they can grow them.
Trust that. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now. I do not trust that at all.
And then that is all I have for now.
You sure?
The television show The Expanse is one of the best sci-fi things since Battlestar Galactica. I would highly recommend that. And yeah.
Krista.
I'm going to be really fast. I'm working Saturday, so I I'm not going to do much. But I will tell you, looking at our fabulous A&E on our Chicago page, I want everyone to go see the Q Brothers Christmas Carol at Chicago Shakes. I have not yet been to the yard. It just opened this summer or fall. That's their Chicago Shakespeare's new venue. And I saw this crazy Q Brothers hip-hop version of Christmas Carol. These four guys, they write it themselves. There's like two black guys and two white guys, and they play all the parts. They play women. They play. And it's one of the funniest, most dear, enjoyable, and at the end, I mean, they're very kind of snarky, but at the end, it's very heartfelt, but it's so funny that if you really need to just have a funny bone, it's not as Christmassy as it is just plain funny. So go see that. It starts November 21st, goes through December 31st at Chicago Shakes. And the other thing I highly recommend, this is lowbrow and the highbrow thing. I'm not a huge ballet fan. I don't really quite get ballet, but I will say I saw this last Christmas. The Joffrey Ballet has done a new Nutcracker, and it's very Chicago-centric, and they have like this contract that no other ballet company can perform it, and it takes place at the turn of the century. Instead of Clara and here Drosselmeyer and all the Austrian stuff, it takes place at the Chicago Columbian Exposition in 1893. Oh. You don't even know you're watching a ballet. It's that good. It's so fabulous. Kind of pricey, though. So if you want to save up your ducats and go be fancy, people at the ballet, it's the last place in Chicago where people get dressed up to go to the theater. Even at the opera, people dress like schlubs now. So if you really want to be fancy with your family,
I wear a tie when I
go to the Joffrey's Nutcracker, and your kids will not, you know, the old version, some of them, kids go away so bored, they fall asleep. I swear to you, your kids will not fall asleep, and it will be fabulous and worth the money. And that's all.
I'm going to wear white socks hat to the CSO now.
Oh. Yes. I just want a clarification. Chris Kindle Market is November 17th to December 24th.
There you go.
There you go.
I feel
extremely crowded. It's already packed now.
You brought up Joffrey. I feel contractually obligated to say that one of my friends dated a girl who's in the Joffrey Ballet. I saw her throw up in her parents' basement. Oh. All right. I got that out. All right, so
that was a great story. I like how well that story was constructed.
And had all that story.
Even
drama,
even
humor,
ballet artists.
I believe there was some sort of other controversy going on with that whole situation too.
Well, I'm sure they're all being remixed.
My friend dated her and then she cheated on her and then she dumped him for it. And I always like to give him a hard time.
You better hope she doesn't
listen to this podcast. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I doubt it. So, my recommendation is a TV show.
I'm shocked.
We're all shocked.
Yes.
Chris, you don't miss anything with the recommendations.
It's called The Deuce. It just finished up their first.
Oh, I started watching that.
Yeah, just finished up their first really season good. On HBO. It's really good. Maggie Gyllenhaal's in it.
What is with her and not no bra? Like, she really needs to put a bra on.
Yeah, that's a little distracting.
Everything she does.
The thing is like, if you're uncomfortable with the human form, this show is not for you. No, it's about prostitution. It's about the skin trade in New York in the, I guess, like 70s, I want to say. And the Deuce is the Times Square area when it used to be sort of trashy and, verboten. So it's actually a really, really good show. What's his name is also in it.
James Franco.
Yeah, James Franco. He plays twins,
brothers,
identical twin brothers, mm-hmm. not identical cousins, identical twin brothers. And he does it pretty well. They're actually two pretty different people.
Yeah.
So
I have a hard time, I don't think they differentiate them enough with different clothes or I have a hard time. Their hairstyle's kind of similar.
Hairstyle's a little different though.
So it's hard to, when I first started watching, it was hard to tell who was who.
Yeah. Give it a couple episodes and it'll be very obvious.
I have a non-recommendation. Suburbicon. I saw that. I was one of the few people who went and saw Suburbicon.
So don't watch this.
Do not go and see it.
I was going to go see it this weekend. The reviews are correct.
Okay. It doesn't make sense. It's like smushed together. I went because it's the Coen brothers. Love Coen brothers.
Love Coen brothers.
Yeah. Not
There's
huge,
a reason they didn't make it, though.
Yeah. I'm
Sometimes
not a huge,
as an artist, you produce stuff you're not the most proud of.
Yeah. And I'm not a huge George Clooney fan, but Matt
He's
is,
been a good director. So wait,
the Coen brothers did do the movie, or they did?
They wrote it years ago,
but
George Clooney did this like thing where there's like two plots running simultaneously, but kind of you don't really see how they're connected. They're never connected. You get all the way to the end. There's not really a connection.
I'll say this about Coen Brothers films: they're usually better upon rewatching. That the first time sometimes is so confusing that you're so involved in the plot that you lose sort of sight of other things. Great example of this is Big Lebowski. First time I saw Big Lebowski, I was like, what the heck just happened?
Oh, I loved it out
there. The rug ties it together.
And then the second and third time, I fell in love with the movie. So
Fargo might be one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
I loved Fargo
the first time I saw it.
That was actually the same thing. It was a different thing for me. The first time I saw it, I was like, the second time
it just grew on me.
It's like the characters, they sort of grow on you.
There's something about
say what you about the tenets of National Socialism.
Yes,
at least it's an ethos.
Frances McDormand, her character Marge Gunderson, like I could just watch her eat all day. Like just she was so ridiculously good in that movie.
She's good in everything.
Yeah.
There's a movie that just debuted at the Chicago International Film Festival that she stars in, calling Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and it looks completely off the chain.
Yes,
the trailer
it looks awesome.
Is amazing. It's by the guy who did like Seven Psychopaths and In Bruges. It looks like an absolute amazing movie.
Yeah.
We had considered going to see it, but it was like the tickets were already sold out, like long ago sold out. But it looks very strong.
And Bruges is fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's Bruges.
Yeah. In Bruges. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
I was gonna tell
you. we're not cultured people here, Krista. That's why we need you around.
Sorry.
All right.
I once went to go see that movie in an independent movie theater down in Indianapolis, and we were like the only people in the entire theater. It was one of the few occasions.
Indianapolis.
You have it all here. Yeah.
Hey, they get more.
The only culture there is bacteria.
Yeah. All right, that's going to wrap up our show for this week. I want to thank all the panelists, especially Krista.
Sorry, I cussed. Good luck.
It's okay. Hopefully, be back again next week.
And you should definitely wait for it. Keep it region.